listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Tonight, it is the Mike Pettine Show, right here on ESPN 850, hosted by myself and Ken Carmen. We'll talk to the head coach of the Cleveland Browns in advance of the Thursday night game down in Cincinnati.
I believe Joel Bitonio set to sit down with Ken Carmen as well.
Joel Bitonio.
We haven't had Joel Bitonio
in the
Bitonio
player
yet.
Spotlight.
The player spotlight. We'll do a little fantasy stardom sit him.
With the
on a Tuesday.
With the cousin of Mo Pedman. Getting you ready for the Browns and the Bengals tonight. 216-578-0850. Jim in Akron. Welcome to the show. Mo Pedman.
Oh, fellas. Hey, it's good to hear you back on air, Gibbs.
Thank you. I don't know if everybody would agree with that, but hey, I'll take any listener I can get.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about these rumors, but at first I was at the game on Sunday, and I'm cheering and yelling my head off, and I got these people looking at me like, it's like, why do you come to a game if you don't want to cheer and you know, show your team, you know, that you're there to support them? And sometimes I think some of us fans care more than the players. At least that's how we're starting to feel. You know, we had that game in control in the first half. You know, the Duke was going loose. And then he disappeared. He didn't play until the two-minute warning. First, I thought he was hurt, and then they put him back on the field. I don't know if he was hurt or what.
Now, they said they got to do a better job getting the football to Duke Johnson, who was targeted twice, caught both for 68 yards.
Had a huge impact.
Very big impact on the game, yes.
And then he just disappeared. But with these trades, you know, I don't want to just give away our talent. You know, to me, you're going to potentially trade Joe Thomas for the 28th pick. You know, if it's going to be a low first-round pick, you have to give me something else. Well, I just assume keep Joe. I know he doesn't seem to be, you know, the same player that he was. You know, we all get older and we all slip a little bit, but, you know, you can't just give away talent like that. And, you know,
it's not an indictment on Joe Thomas or his talent. It's just a fact of, you know, the reason it's even considered is because you're trying to construct your roster into one that you believe one day can win a Super Bowl, and you're getting an asset. It's not just Joe Thomas for the guy that you draft there. It's 4 years of that guy on a rookie, 5 years of that guy on a rookie contract. If he's drafted in the first round, you have the fifth-year option. So significant financial savings that allows you to spend that money elsewhere. In addition to that, that's how you win. You hit on your picks. That's the real issue is that the Browns haven't hit on those picks yet. So people are saying, why would you trade for a draft pick when you've proven you can't draft?
Yeah,
that is.
No, Jim, thanks for the phone call, man. Thanks for listening. It's like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I mean,
that's why I like the fact that they're putting out there, look, we have a high price tag. If you meet it, great. If not, that's fine too. But if you're the Browns, asset acquisition is the mode that you should be in. Because
yeah. I mean, if someone wants to come to you and give you a number one, a first-round pick, and an impact player on top of it that can immediately start for you this season, you have to listen. You'd be foolish not to.
Richard Seymour was traded for a first-round pick by Bill Belichick. Deion Branch was traded for a first-round pick by Bill Belichick. He traded Logan Mankins just last year for a fourth-round pick. Just getting the assets, getting you need more and more and more. And the way that Bill Belichick trades down, there was a study that was done on it, the way that he trades down in the draft and acquires assets. He's basically got himself the number one pick three times over, the value of it, just from making all of his deals. And when you have Tom Brady, it also helps too. But that for the Browns, to me, you've got to get your quarterback. And until you do that, you should be putting as many resources as possible to getting him. Once you've got him, then you have an opportunity to build around him and continue to do that strategically and intelligently. Scott in Union City, welcome to the show.
How are we doing, guys?
Good. How
man.
Are you?
Hey, just a little history here. I'm old enough to remember and see play the greatest quarterback that ever lived, Otto Graham. Also the greatest football player that ever lived, Jim Brown, was at the 64 championship game. Ticket was $10. The program was $1. And been a season ticket holder since 87 and love the Browns. But trading Joe Thomas should never be done. The three key positions on a team are your quarterback, your left tackle, and a cornerback. And we've got two of the three. And no matter who we trade, no matter what draft choices we get, and you touched on it, if you don't have anybody that can evaluate talent, you got four number one picks the last 2 years. How many of them started last week? Draft picks don't mean anything if you do not know how to draft in the NFL. It's that simple, guys.
I don't disagree with what you said. I would argue that left tackle and cornerback, you could say you've had Joe Thomas and Joe Hayden for a while, both playing at very high levels, and you still weren't winning. So quarterback trumps everything.
Correct.
And I think that that is pretty clear in the NFL, that that trumps everything, and trumps everything by a large margin.
Would you agree with that? Is DB number three most important on a roster?
It's stopping opposing quarterbacks. I'd much rather have a disruptive front than a great back end, because if you go back and you look at the team, for example, the Giants team that beat the Patriots the second time, dominant front, secondary wasn't anything to write home about. But when you can constantly pressure the quarterback and do so with four, you can you're the numbers that you have in coverage, you have seven guys in coverage. It's going to be very difficult to throw against you very often if you can generate organic pressure with four guys up front. So to me, I'd rather have a great quarterback, number one, over anything. Then after that, I think great quarterbacks can cover up for offensive line, so you probably need a couple guys on your offensive line, but you don't need everybody. I mean, right now the Patriots are starting undrafted free agents at guard and a rookie center.
I would think that the left tackle is one of the top three positions.
I think it's important, but if you go through the left tackles right now in the NFL on the good teams, who are they?
Okay.
You're not getting the best left tackles on the best teams right now. Because quarterbacks can make up for it because they can get the ball out of their hands quickly. But it can also – it is important. If I have that investment, I want to protect them. That's what the Colts have done. What I think is so cuckoo about what the Colts have done is they have that guy. They keep getting him toys, but they're not protecting him. They're not giving him the meat and potatoes up front.
Yeah. You've got a guy like Cam Irving who's sitting out there. Where is he going to play? What are you going to do with him?
You drafted an offensive lineman in the first round.
Yes.
Last year in the second round, pick 35 overall. So basically a late first round pick.
Yeah, you've drafted two offensive linemen.
So if there is a position that you would feel like you have an opportunity to move from a position of strength at, it is the offensive line. But this is still an offensive line, by the way, that's given up, you know, a lot of sacks this year, 27 now on the season. It's not like they're creating massive running lanes for our running backs. So it's not that this line has been so dominant at
no.
all.
No, not. I mean, it hasn't. And is it the scheme? Is it, you know, their play? What exactly is the problem? And where is that problem right now with the offensive line? Because last year, this was the same offensive line that at times lived up to the billing of being a top five offensive line before Alex Mack got hurt. This year, not even close.
And you wonder if Andy Moeller's departure had anything to do with what's
yeah.
going on that line as well. Anthony in California, welcome to CBD.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. Right, how are you?
All right. I just want to touch on a few things on this Joe Thomas thing. I don't think that it should happen, for one, because Joe Thomas has been loyal to us his whole career. He's the only guy left from the Romeo Cornell area. And I think how can you blame it on Joe Thomas when you just haven't put –
That's missing the whole point. That's missing the whole point. Nobody's blaming anything on Joe Thomas. You're not trading him blaming Joe Thomas. Nobody's saying that at all.
If you're looking at it
from that standpoint, you're saying, listen, Joe Thomas, we're going to give you an opportunity to go win a Super Bowl, which you do not currently have.
How are you just going to get rid of the guy when the guy's been loyal to you the whole time he's been? The guy hasn't been to the playoff one time since he's been on the Browns. But a lot of players would say, I want to win. I want out. As many times he was free agent and he stayed with us. He stayed. So now you just want to get rid of him after he's been loyal to us? That's my whole thing.
I think, unfortunately, football is a business and loyalty is not necessarily anything.
Joe Thomas has made his money.
He's made, and he's being paid very handsomely to be here, and he's performed at a high level. Joe Thomas, I have no idea if Joe Thomas would say, yeah, I'd love to go play with Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson and really go have a chance to go to my first playoffs and win a Super Bowl this year. I don't know if that's what he would want to do or if he'd want to stay here. I know he wants to be a part of the turnaround, but at some point, listen, he's a human being, and human beings in the National Football League don't play for forever. You know, maybe he gets to 35 would be, you know, that's the upper end of any
sure.
left tackle. Maybe. He's not built quite like the guys that have made it that long.
I mean, you're already having to give him days off.
gets every Wednesday.
Every week.
Every Wednesday.
Yeah, every week he's getting a day off. And I'm not saying he hasn't earned that right. And
no, of course he has. Yeah. This is, again, not about – this is in no way, shape, or form
but if you,
about Joe Thomas.
If you have the overall opportunity to upgrade your roster by not just one player, but two, maybe even three players for one that – that is approaching, I'm not saying he's at the end of his career, but approaching, you know, the back end of his career, you have to at least listen to the offer.
Absolutely. And let me ask you guys this. What turned it around for the Oakland Raiders? Why are the Oakland Raiders having a turnaround? Because they got picks and then they drafted well with them. I admit you have to do a better job with your picks than the
yes.
Browns have done. You have to.
No, there's no question.
That's how you turn
that.
Around, but that's what the Raiders did. By the way, before that, who was arguably the best player on that Raiders team? Jared Veldheer, the left tackle. He's now in Arizona. They let him go. Their team is having a resurgence anyway. It is possible to do that. And for the Browns, it's about being realistic with where you are. You could look at, in many ways, the last 2 years as somewhat of a missed opportunity, given your salary cap, given four first-rounders, two second-rounders, and four third-rounders. And you look and you say, where are the impact players? You go to Jacksonville. You can say you've got Allen Robinson, who looks like he is going to be a stud that you can build around. You've got Blake Bortles, who, while he probably was not my favorite of that rookie class, he looks like a guy that at least we know we can trot out there, and if when he plays well, he can be in the top half of the league.
Sure.
You've got T.J. Yeldon, who now looks like he's going to be your bell cow running back. So you've got some pieces there. You look at Oakland. We talked about Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, Derek Carr. Pieces are there. By the way, Michael Crabtree was a smart free agent signing. Inexpensive, prove it to me deal, as opposed to a ton of guaranteed money. And he's going out there and balling out. Smart move by the Raiders. So Minnesota, Teddy Bridgewater, 5-2. Got their quarterback. They've done well with their draft picks. Stephon Diggs was a draft pick this year who's starting to play very well for them. Harrison Smith, Xavier Rhodes, Anthony Barr. They've hit on those picks. That's how you get good quickly, is by having lots of assets early in draft and then being successful with those, because that gives you cheap, cheap, good labor that is yours for a five-year period, and then you have money to add in the pieces or at least project on guys like a Pernell McPhee. You won't be – when you're hitting on your draft picks – and you believe in Pernell McPhee, you're not going to get quote-unquote priced out of Pernell McPhee because and end up with guys in their mid-30s. That doesn't happen.
Yeah. No, you hit it right on the head. I mean, there's the – if the opportunity exists, you have to look at it, and if you have to act, then you have to act. Now, I do wonder how much – who all is involved in the acting. You know, this is all going on. If indeed there are talks going on, you know, who in this building is all involved in that right now?
Correct.
I mean, that's the question, because, you know, what's the future of this team going to look like?
That we don't know. And there's obviously tons being written about it and speculation about it. But one thing that I can tell you from my time in the building, and you guys can choose to believe it or not, is that for all the talk about the meddling, et cetera, of the business side on the football side, that is not happening in this building. The football side runs the football, and the business side runs the business. And the business side is doing very well as of today.
Yeah.
Kind of remarkable.
Increased the value of the team by $500 million or something?
Not bad.
Saw?
Not
pretty
bad.
Pretty good.
But it is – there is – people, there are whole sides – the building is even, in fact, literally physically divided to the football side and the business side. And that's the way that it is operated. Do people discuss things? Of course they do. But football decisions are made by the football people exclusively as it relates to the Cleveland Browns. Regardless of what people are hearing or what they are saying, those are the facts. That is the way that it has been, and that is the way that it is. All right. When we come back, we'll open up the phone line still, 216-578-0850. Marvin Lewis still to come in the first hour, around the league at 2 o'clock. Lots of news. Keenan Allen, it looks like his season is
lacerated
done.
Lacerated kidney.
He had set the NFL record for the most receptions through the first seven games this year with 63 catches, and now it looks like he will be lost for the season. Steve Johnson, who they signed, and Malcolm Floyd, Dontrell Inman will be the guys picking up the slack there for the San Diego Chargers and Philip Rivers. All right, back with more CBD right after this.